Adam McKelvey's getting up to the 30-year point on covering the Brewers. he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hey. How you doing, Adam?
Hi, Adam.
That thought's probably scarier for Chuck than it is for me.
Oh, it is. Well, I mean, I think I'm the only guy in the station who's around for the 82 Brewers. So that, I mean, when people are talking about me ready for the nursing home already, it's because I associate with the 82 Brewers. I guess that's all. But
man,
you go back to like the Jeremy Burnett's Brewers, right?
Yeah, 01.
01.
God. Yeah, I'm as old as Miller Park. I have a real. It's real easy to remember what was my first season. But I was an intern for the Brewers in college, so that was 99, what was supposed to be the last year at County Stadium, and I was the one. They had a manual. Remember this, Chuck? They had a manual, like, scoreboard in the back of the press box, which was sheets of paper tacked to a cork board.
Yep.
That I would somehow get the scores. I don't know, by phone or. Maybe it was already the newfangled internet.
Wasn't there a ticker back there?
Well, I remember writing it, the scores on the sheet by hand.
Okay.
And mostly it was because every now and then Selig, he would want to come in the press box and see the other scores. So they had some intern manually update this, you know, scoreboard in the mm-hmm. press box.
Yeah,
so that was one of my many very important duties.
Yep. No, I remember those days. I don't remember you doing it, but I remember that scoreboard back there.
Well, I was much, skinnier and more innocent then, yeah.
Now you're just making TV commercials for the Brewers, which I thought was pretty cool. People could probably see that one on the internet. All right, let's get to the team, first of all. This past weekend, I don't know if you really could take a lot of the first couple of games. It seems like they're just playing a lot of depth in these first two games.
Yeah, they're easing a lot of the guys in, the back-end bullpen pitchers, and then, you know, the Kane Yelich. They have split squads coming up on Thursday, so I think we'll see those guys by then. Kane Yelich, Ryan Braun, maybe earlier. Today, Travis Shaw is going to get out there. Yesterday, Yasmani Grandal and Mike Moustakas. If you really think about this team, they have very few openings. Their team is largely set, and if they can get through camp without injuries, they only have a very few handfuls of the decisions to make on how they align their starting rotation and who ends up in the bullpen. So with the positional players, there's not decisions to make. So they're going to be very careful with how they play these guys. They played a lot of baseball last year. Christian Yelich in particular had a very busy offseason. So they're going to be, they're always – smart about how much guys play. I think this year they're going to be particularly so. But there's still things to figure out. Moustakas is going to get exposed to second base as he was yesterday, and it went fine. They want to see Ben Gamel play all over the outfield because he's going to be, I think, kind of a sneaky important player on this team because Ryan Braun, we know, is going to get his days off. He's going to have his DL, or it's not DL, it's IL now, injured list stints. So they're going to want to see Gamel. They're going to want to see Corey Spangenberg play all over, including the outfield. So there are still some tasks to take care of this spring. But I think this year, if you have this spectrum of, on one hand, a ton of camp battles, to the other end of the spectrum where all you care about is getting through healthy, I think this year they're way further on they're just trying to get through it healthy end of that.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Moustakas, from what we saw, and we'll see games are on TV most of this week, doing all right at second base yesterday. I guess, how bad would he have to be for them not to go with this plan? Because when the signing was first announced, I didn't want to see Shaw back there. I know Shaw can say what he says. I don't think he wants to go back there again. I don't get that vibe from him. But Moustakas, when he was signed, you would know better than I would, though. But Moustakas, when he was signed, he obviously knew this was going to happen. So it seems like, unless he's like terrible beyond belief, he will be the second baseman, the primary guy.
I think you are exactly right about that. And I think that is kind of the way to think about it. And I didn't get the vibe from Travis Shaw that he didn't want to go back at all. But I think that, this is a team that makes its decisions based on data, right? And the data says Travis Shaw is the superior third baseman from a defensive point of view. Travis Shaw is also the guy who's a part of your team for a couple more years before he hits free agency. And Moustakas, even though there's a mutual option, it's likely a one-year thing, a bridge to Keston Hira, Mauricio Dubon. So if you keep Travis Shaw at third, on one hand, you're keeping the best defender there by the numbers, and you're also then creating the least amount of movement for the long term if you have these two second basemen coming and you're eventually going to move Shaw, if he would be the second baseman this year, back to third next year. So this way you don't have to keep moving him around. So I think for those reasons it made sense. And I think you're right that unless Moustakas just trips all over himself out there, that's the alignment that they want to do. And we kind of went through that. When they signed him and council talked about this, we all went back and you know, there's a bunch of us scribes down here, and there were some TV people down here at that time. And we all sort of reported it as Moustakas is, you know, the Brewers are planning for Moustakas to be their second baseman. We got a little pushback on that because council, if you really listen to it, he didn't say that. He just said they were open to it and they were going to try it. They don't like making declarations super early. So while it's not totally set in stone, I feel like you're right that if Moustakas just can be somewhat capable at that position, that's what they're going to do. And look, he should be capable because he's a shortstop his whole life, like many of these guys, before he became a third baseman in the pro ranks. Because of shifting, it's not totally foreign for him to be on that side of the bag. So he's just got to get used to turning double plays, coming in on balls like he did yesterday against the Rangers. He's just got to make a couple of plays, and I think he's going to be okay. And we'll see whether they're hurt defensively by playing a guy who hasn't been there a lot, but you know, you watch him play, and I have a hard time believing that they're going to be.
See, I think this is about major league players. Most of these guys played every position in their whole career at some point anyway. Yeah. They're such versatile athletes. I mean, they probably – Moustakas probably even pitched sometime in amateur ball. You know, that's just the way these guys are.
I mean, think of us playing baseball growing up. The best players were your shortstop and pitcher.
Yeah.
That's why I was at first base. So the guys that are really good can do that.
I was a catcher in T-ball, and that's not a joke. Yeah. In T-ball.
Well, yeah, they have catchers.
I was a catcher.
Yeah.
You don't do anything.
You got to put the ball on the tee.
You wait for the guy to hit right on the top of the tee so the ball squirts up in the air so you can make that leaping dive.
But if there's a bases loaded play and, you know, goes back to the pitcher.
Yeah, but there's a dad back there with me and he, like, put, you know.
You got to be able to step on the mound.
Up and set you on the bag.
Yeah, I was
on the plate.
I sucked.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, look, these guys don't suck. And, you know, I think they would be extremely surprised if it doesn't work out with Moustakas. And they're already seeing in the practice and then in the game yesterday that it's going to be fine. The funny thing was, it's little things, right? And the one thing he didn't do yesterday is Josh Tomlin warmed up and he gets done with his warm-up tosses and Yasmani Grandal is standing there ready to throw down to second and there's nobody covering the bag. So Arcia had to yell at Moustakas to get over and cover the bag and take the throw. So it's little tiny comfort things like that he's getting used to.
Talking with Adam McKelvey on Twitter, at Adam McKelvey, Facebook, Instagram, the whole like social media mogul. when it comes to spring training as a whole, we try to say, all right, don't read too much into this. Some of these guys, you know, it's practice. But when Chase Anderson says, I'm going to limit home runs in early innings, and then he gives up a home run, I know he can pitch, you know, well, all the other pitches around it, but that's been the problem with Chase. And with the Brewers building this rotation, I just think that Davies and Anderson are two guys that they've got to be strong for me off the bat, because you've got a lot of other guys that can throw 6-7 innings if they're not capable.
Yeah, look, I mean, that talk about social media, that was one that was very hotly debated. One pitch in spring training and one inning, and the very first inning, nonetheless, of spring training for the Brewers. I agree with you that limiting home runs is going to be really important for him. I also agree with you that you just, you know, good and bad, you can't go overboard in analyzing what happens in these little small stints of games. Hernan Perez drove in 7 yesterday. Don't think he's going to be their RBI leader this year. I don't think he's going to hit 60 homers. So, you know, with Chase Anderson, he missed with, he was trying to bury a curveball and didn't. And Bryant off balance connected with it, and it was in the air, and it flew out in Arizona, in the Arizona air. I'm not making excuses for it. That's literally what happened. And, you know, if it becomes if he gives up a ton of homers, then, you know, you have a problem. But I think he's in the rotation. And the thing we all need to remember is, and we should know this by now, especially under this GM, because of the way we've watched them work over the last couple of years, an opening day roster is not the team. An opening day roster is, Council uses the term snapshot, and that's the way to remember it. It's one day of the team. And in the case of this team, it's often literally one day because they're making roster moves on day two. And the team is the 50 or so guys that you're going to use throughout the course of the season to win games, cover injuries, cover when there's poor performance and you need to try something else. It's not 25. And I think that's just really important to remember as we try. Like, I think it's fun to think along with the front office in trying to figure out how they're going to make decisions and who they're going to keep and how they're going to start the season. And if you think along with the front office, that means Chase Anderson and Zach Davies are in the rotation because they want to have the highest number of capable starting pitchers. And I could even say potentially capable starting pitchers for the course of a long season. And it makes no sense to say Chase Anderson gave up a homer to Chris Bryant in the first inning of the first day. Let's release him and go to something else. It makes more sense to think about keeping the 7 or 8 starting pitchers that you know you're going to need throughout the course of a year because they always do. And that involves preserving depth. That means Anderson, Davies in the rotation to start. Maybe Corbin Burnes in the pen, you know, that Woodruff, Burnes, Peralta group, those are the young guys with options that maybe they'll be back and forth. Maybe they start some in AAA, some of the bigs. Maybe they're in the bullpen at times. There's going to be, I think, some movement with them and some flexibility, even though they are really good, promising pitchers, and they're probably going to be really good starters for the Brewers. For the club this year to get the 40, 50 guys that you're going to need, they may still be a little flexible in their roles. And that's going to irritate some people who just want them to be in the rotation and make 35 starts and get off to their careers. But that we've seen the way that this front office and the way baseball teams now build these teams, and that's how they do it, with some flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, here's the way I look at baseball now, and we've learned this with the Brewers. It's not the 25-man roster. You're going to need help from 40, 50 guys to win a pennant.
Absolutely. And you know what, Chuck? If you look back to your, you know, the 82 Brewers, they use a lot of guys too. I think we have this idea that this is kind of a new concept, but really it's not. If you look back at those teams, and even those 82ers, they had flexibility of positions and flexibility of pitching roles. And, you know, Jim Slayton, there were guys doing this back then. I think it's a little bit, it's much more prevalent now. And what's more prevalent now is the back and forth.
Sure. And look who was the hero on opening day last year. They ended up trading him to Tampa for a pitcher.
And that's a great trivia question. Bart, can you name him?
Oh, G-Man Choi.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
What are you quizzing me for?
Well, look, I don't know, because it's fun. You always quiz me on stuff.
That's true.
It's a different way of thinking about it because the opening, you know, spring comes and it's like there's excitement, there's baseball going again, and Uke's voice is on the air. And I like to project the 25-man roster because I think it's a fun exercise, but it isn't the end. It's not like that's your 25, and if Chase Anderson doesn't work out, man, you're screwed. If Chase Anderson has another year like he had last year, you got to make a change. And you've got lots of depth with players that you really like that you're able to make to do something. But I think it behooves them to see if these mechanical changes he's got can turn into something. Interesting, one guy he looked at in making these changes, I hope his next game is televised so we can show it more easily. But his wind-up, his arms kind of go over his head now, and he looks down at his feet. Because it's all about balance and staying back and kind of keeping his whole foot on the rubber. And the video he watched was Nolan Ryan. And no, look, he's not going to be Nolan Ryan, so don't tweet me and say I'm comparing him to Nolan Ryan. But when you watch it, you really remember Nolan Ryan doing that windup and looking straight down at his feet. And it's kind of cool to see. So I hope the next one we can get better video of it.
I think as Adam's down there for the entirety of the spring training, and we've heard and seen a lot about how great the facilities are. But so the facilities are so great that they're able to do this Brett Laurie experiment. That I found that interesting. That, I mean, I love the idea of it, but when David Stearns is like basically saying, look, if we didn't have this facility, we couldn't try this. Can you explain more on that? Because I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked it that way, because that's the way I tried to write it yesterday. Because it's weird, right, for a team to sign a baseball player that can't play baseball and hasn't played in the major leagues in 2 years. But part of the renovation, and I think this is the key for Brett Laurie. The old clubhouse was in this building that's kind of down the right field line, and what they did with the renovation is they basically built off that towards home plate. So all the new stuff is what used to be sort of the first base concourse, and that's where the main clubhouse is. Then you get into the weight room and this crazy pool setup that they have, and then the minor league clubhouses, offices, and the whole thing. And what's in what was the old clubhouse is now sports sciences, and it's a big area. It's an area that used to be the locker room, the tiny little training room, the weight room. That's all sports sciences now. And it is like off limits, signs hanging, no media. When you try to ask what's going on in there, they don't want to tell you, because this is one of the new areas. It started with statistics. Now it's in sports sciences, where every team is trying to do their own proprietary stuff to try to find an edge, whatever tiny little edge you can get. I think this is in a lot of sports that teams are doing this. So they've got whatever they have going on back there, high-speed cameras, tracking body movements, testing strength, all kinds of different things they are going to eventually use on their players to try to maximize strengths, fix deficiencies, whatever it is. And Brett Laurie is a perfect sort of guinea pig for this area, because he hasn't been able to play for 2 years. And when you talk to him, he tells you about not feeling right, but not really being able to pinpoint it. And the White Sox couldn't really pinpoint what was going on. It kind of started with hamstrings, but then that healed, but he still didn't feel right. So there's this mysterious something happening physically with him that he just doesn't feel right. And maybe this area and some of this technology that they have is going to help them figure this out. Because this is a guy who's 29 years old. He's a freak athlete. He has the experience to maybe be a little in a different place as a teammate and kind of as a guy than he was, but still physically gifted. And if they can get something out of that, boy, this would be a great victory for this new area. So that's kind of what's going on there. And I think when they sort of sat down over the winter and thought about, okay, we have the sports science area. How can we leverage this? How can we make the most of this investment? And they looked around, and here's Brett Laurie as a free agent, and he looks like a perfect guy to give it a shot. So let's see. Not 6 months, just workouts, or the next 6 weeks, rather. He's just going to be gaining strength, and he's not going to do any baseball. And then I think at the end of 6 weeks, they'll kind of see where they're at and see if they can get him back on a field somewhere.
Adam McKelvey on Twitter, Adam McKelvey, Facebook, Instagram. We will look forward to your coverage and talking to you again throughout the season. Have a nice day, Adam. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Adam.
All right. See you, guys.
Adam McKelvey joins us on.